town, round town, gotta be small with me. Hey, 2005, the Rockaway Edition. Listen, King.
There any form of terror. Big on this mistake, no man. They'll be the sorry, the man, and error. War, they must study it. Set them deal with it, bloody yet. Gun dog and gun drunk to the century. Them say senseless killing and them obvious. Find out say the war, them a study, yes. Say them deal with it, bloody yes. Battlefield could have slippery or muddy, yes. Deal with them rash because them love mess. They up on the love of crime. No for them a look to see I'm magadan. Guy from warrior to them have a gun. Tell them say the warriors and nagaran. Nagaran. Curve up on the love of crime. No for look to see I'm magadan. Guy from warrior to them have a gun. The warriors and nagaran. I through the fire. No care how hot it is. I know we got burn back it is. I saw. Be positive. Wake up and live. No for them a hype out machine. We're uncommon. Something we're bigger than the damn cannon. The lightning without them and them young with one and leave them headless. No foot to stand on. The lava girl. No for them a love to see I'm all alone. Fight for warrior to them lava girl. Tell them say the warrior them nagaran. Nagaran. Stay up on the lava girl.
I loved you when I was this shy. To tell you this, my God, right in your eyes. But I loved you when I did not lie. If I don't get your love, I think I'm gonna cry. I will keep you moving, my girl. Grooving, my girl. Oh, oh, yes, I can see the end.
Monday, November 29th, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN Radio 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special thanks to the First Ladies of Reggae here at CKLN for spinning beautiful vibes and sending beautiful vibes out into the city of Toronto. Always a pleasure to follow them. Hopefully you did enjoy their show again this Monday morning. As with every Monday morning. And I'm going to take you back to this for a second. I got to get this thing working here. I apologize. Here on Monday, November 29, 2010, we just finished Fun Fest. And hopefully we raised a lot of money. Thank you to my listeners who donated to this show and to the station by extension. But I spent an extra couple hours last night chopping the hell out of a whole bunch of clips. And I had a great, you know, clip-heavy show planned today. I unfortunately do not have a working computer that's connected to my mixing board yet again. So, I don't know how it's working. I'm trying all sorts of buttons and whistles on here. But we will play through the pain here this morning. I got a ton of news to break down for you. Give me one second.
To teach the word of God, my Bible is my only sheet and the music. It's my rod. I pray mankind would hear my voice and listen when I call. But all they do is carry on like they don't care at all. When man was made to serve God, and together live forever. Man was made to serve God.
right now, I'm going to reach out to all the ladies, the mummies, the dainty babies,
mama.
Smooth be loved ones, the Rampage crew. Reaching out to all of you.
All right, and we're reaching out to all of you here on this Monday morning. Sorry about that. Just trying to make sure this CD continues playing here on air. I normally use the MP3 player. I got a whole bunch of clips here, which I was going to play now. Clips from David Icke on Pyramids Used to Centralize Power, Education is Indoctrination. Joel Skousen on the Alex Jones Show on the big North Korea-South Korea kerfuffle leading to World War III, or possibly just the U.S. agitating for the world to continue using the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve, primary reserve currency. Martin Luther King on cashing a check for freedom and the promise of emancipation being unfulfilled by the American government, and by extension the promises that our governments and our culture have made to us being unfulfilled by ours. Aldous Huxley, again quoted by Alan Watt, and explaining in part Ireland now being run by the International Monetary Fund through the latest series of bailouts, in part because the Irish, the fighting Irish, were trying to fight the European Union and further integration of Europe. Aaron Russo on Rockefellers, on the Rockefellers and their goals, and his being friends with Nick Rockefeller on his foreshadowing 9/11. Basically, Aaron Russo, Hollywood filmmaker, made Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, The Rose with Bette Midler, became friends with one of the Rockefellers as just a big-time Hollywood guy, friends with Nick Rockefeller, a lawyer. They got to be friends. Nick Rockefeller said to Aaron, hey, you know, in a few months, and this is before September of 2001, before September 11, 2001, a few months, there's going to be an event, and you're going to see a bunch of people running around looking for people in caves, and they're going to fight this endless war on terror. It's just never going to end because you can't beat terror. What's terror? Terror is just being scared, you know, and in the broadest sense. And then you can tie it to vague threats and groups out there that are not based in nations. They're based on the idea and the idea of people being radicalized by this idea and so on. And Rockefeller thought it was really funny. He thought it was hilarious. He said, oh, my God, you can't believe what's coming up in the next few months. And the ultimate goal of the Rockefeller family, one of the main American families behind the old world order forming a new world order, is to get us all chipped. And that brings us to the TSA body scanners issue in the U.S. because you got to look at this TSA thing in the mass media as a psyop, as a psychological operation. You can't just be like, yay, we broke through in the mass media. When you get the odd thing, like journalist Geraldo Rivera having on members of the Building What campaign from New York, members of the 9/11 victims' families, who basically are launching a campaign to have a new investigation into Building 7, the third building to fall on the day of the 9/11 attacks, and one that a New York judge didn't know about when the case was brought before him. And he said, hey, what about Building 7? He said, Building What? So buildingwhat.org, you can check out for more on that. Geraldo Rivera on Fox News had Bob McElvain, one of the architects from Architects and Engineers, on. Now, that's an isolated news story. You know, that's one journalist breaking through and putting this information out there. One program. And then it was reflected by Judge Napolitano, who has his own show on the Fox News Network as well. And you've had stuff like that. You've had CNN's showbiz reporter A.J. Hammer back in 2006 when actor Charlie Sheen became the first, you know, major celebrity to publicly question the 9/11 attacks. And you know, he's going through some kookiness these days, but the point is that A.J. Hammer put him on and then was later apparently told by the CNN bosses to take him off because he had a whole three-part special to look into what Charlie Sheen was saying planned, and then that was kiboshed. So that, there's a couple of journalists, you know, flexing a bit there, you know. Other journalists on the left and the right have done the same. But when you see the mass media as a whole promote something, you can't just think, yay, we're going to get something done. You got to think, why are they doing this? Why did, you know, all the editors at all the major newspaper and television outlets decide to run with the TSA, basically the naked body scanners and the possible radiation effects on travelers through airports, and or the option of being groped by employees of the Transportation Safety Administration in the United States, who are a division of Homeland Security, who are responsible for safety at the airports. You know, and so why do the media choose to run with people's outrage against being irradiated and groped? Well, a couple of reasons, but one is possibly getting us all to take the chip. And I remember a couple of years ago, people, you know, talking about getting the retinal scans to bypass regular airport security and the use of passports and customs because they had a scan of your retina. So you could walk right through. Some people opted for that. Some people didn't. And again, it's going to be sold as the cool thing to do if you got either more money, if it costs more, like at certain nightclubs in Europe, they're saying you got to get a chip and then don't worry about it. Don't bring your wallet. Just show up at the bar and scan your hand every time you order drinks. We'll send your credit card a bill later. And certain exclusive nightclubs are getting their members chipped, you know, as a condition of joining. This is a couple of years ago. Now, so it'll either be you got enough money or you don't have the time or you don't want the hassle. And we want to have faith in what we're offered by the government, because to not is to indict the government in ways that makes them seem scary, probably because, you know, by and large, they are scary because they are, you know, controlled by corporate lobbyists who are working for, you know, insane oligarchs, insane eugenicist oligarchs, depending on how deep you look into this. So you got to wonder, what was the big deal about that, you know, over the last month or so? Another reason that the revolt against the TSA was carried so far by the mainstream media is one referenced by Alan Watt at cuttingthroughthematrix.com in response to a caller who asked about, why is the media making such a big deal out of this? And Watt says, well, look, the one thing they want us to do is to feel powerless. So, and that's the scientific socialist dictatorship being set up and the social engineers behind manifesting that on behalf of their oligarchical overlords. And so one of the things they can do is they could give us the idea that, hey, maybe, just maybe, we're going to win one here, and then they could dash all our hopes. And this is something I mentioned here on this show as well, about how if you follow the mass media's narrative and if you trust that more than the alternative media, for whatever reason, maybe you're a bit snobbish about the indie media, maybe you think, you know what, they may be, you know, by and large, you know, corporate liars with a few good apples in there trying to do the best job they can within a system they know they can't try and shake up and resist and go at too much. You know, you may want to trust them more, but the problem with trusting them is they are designed to destroy your will and your willpower and your ability to fight back and to see the potential in both yourself and other people for resisting the tyranny of the government as it continues expanding in governments around the world. So that's in a nutshell, you know, some of the stuff that you know, going to go through today on the show. But the number here to call is 416-595-1655. If you would like to be on air, if you'd like to share any thoughts, if you have any questions, answers, suggestions, things to promo, do call here. These are your publicly owned airwaves. You folks out there did support community radio last week during our Fun Fest week. Want to thank you so much for that. And yeah, okay, now there it is. I'm seeing the signs up there. When I was here last Thursday, we were roughly a third of the ways towards our goal of $88,100, reflecting our 88.1 on the FM dial. And I haven't checked recently, but hopefully we did get close to that. And if not, hopefully you folks out there still support community radio by either donating to us, if there are formal measures to do that, or by letting people know about CKLN Radio, where you can find the best reggae, the best jazz, the best news and information, the best comment and commentary, and the best attitude about this whole business, because we're doing it for the love as opposed to just doing it for the money. Nothing against money, but if you know people are doing it for the love, then you know, they got to love doing it, and hopefully you'll love some of what they have to offer. So if you'd like, you can call us here at the radio station at 416-595-1655 to be on air. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, breaking down some news for you here on Monday, November 29th, 2010, as I get to freestyle a little bit here on air, absent the clips and over some funky soul music that I found here on CD in the office. I'm going to start packing me a CD or two, but Yeah, I don't know. I in my mind, I get this whole thing. I structure the show. Some days I do a better job than others. And so in my mind today, I was just like, oh man, I gotta chop up a brilliant show and slice together a whole bunch of clips and make it a beautiful narrative. And so, you know, well, you know what? I'll try and do that for Thursday, if the computer's working. And if not, well, hey, you know, I'll still try and give you the news that I find and the news that I surmise. I'm here on Infowars.com. Let's start off with 6 reasons to start World War III if you're a globalist. And this is by the Activist Post. Now, again, the little skirmish in North and South Korea going on between them. You got a crazy leader in South Korea who's kind of like a neocon. And, of course, you got a crazy leader in North Korea who's, you know, a fascist dictator. And yet, in a world where, you know, they depend on Western aid and Western support, you know, the North depends on covert aid and technology sold to them, and in fact, food aid to keep them and their people from starving, and the South depends on being welcomed into the Anglo-American establishment and the system of globalization they've set up, including the global economy that rewards South Korea for playing ball. So they're both intricately tied into the plans of the West, and if the West really didn't want them fighting, if our Anglo-American New World Order, basically Old World Order leaders behind globalization, didn't want this skirmish going on, you better believe it wouldn't be. So to the Activist Post, as cited on Infowars.com, the average person can barely imagine why World War III would be anything but a civilization-ending event. And yet we've heard neocons ramping up rhetoric that suggests a new world war would be a viable option to correcting a dying dollar and economy. Or perhaps it is simply a sound investment if you are a globalist. RAND Corporation documents point to a desire for total war abroad and at home. The recent reactivation of North and South Korea tensions could be a potential catalyst in an East-West world war scenario possibly involving nukes. However, the next world war doesn't necessarily need to be a conflagration. It could be a steady, slow, coldly calculated design to plunge the globe into austerity and totalitarian control through regulations such as those proposed by Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21. And I'll throw in, there's links to these. And that's the great thing about InfoWars articles and other online articles. You can actually link to articles about, you know, what they mention or even original source material. Codex Alimentarius is the UN's plan to control and manage the world's food supply, basically dole it out to countries based on how good they've been, and starve you, you know, just like the communists did, because this is a form of global communism. Starve you if you don't play ball. Also reintroduce 7 out of 12 banned toxins to the environment, according to Dr. Rima LeBeau. And basically, to bring every country in the world under this world food supply program, as part of WTO and General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs regulations. Also to criminalize vitamins, herbs, and supplements. And you'll see bills like Bill C-36 here in Canada, currently going through some readings in the Senate to do just that. Now, it won't happen all at once. Nothing will happen all at once. I've been talking this mess for years. And sometimes people go, dude, what are you doing? But yeah, nobody really goes, what are you doing anymore? They're just kind of like, ah, man, I wish we were doing something. At this point, it's not so much what are you doing, it's I wish we were doing something, and if you're still doing something, good luck with that, you know, to varying degrees. But that's the point. So that's Codex Alimentarius. And then Agenda 21, the United Nations Agenda for Sustainable Development, where the UN wants to control all the property on Earth, and they want to stack us and pack us in compact cities. That's why you see the rise in condos going crazy, especially here in Toronto, where in a country with a massive amount of land and a relatively tiny amount of people, population of 30 million, population of Mexico City or Mumbai, here in Toronto, or here in Canada, the whole country of Canada, second largest country in the world, full of resources. Why the hell is land so expensive? Why are we short of anything that we can't either use or that we can't either sell to the rest of the world to buy stuff that we need to use and want? It's insane, but again, this is part of the propaganda push that they have us on. And so when you see all these condos going up, when you see the Dome City in the Simpsons movie, when you see the new Stephen King book Under the Dome, you know, where a mysterious dome appears out of nowhere, you can see kind of where they want to take this. Even an article from the Sydney Morning Herald quoted by Alan Watts, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, talking about Russia is planning on herding most of their population into 20 compact cities. There are 141 million people in the largest sort of population relocation program since Stalin's around World War II. Stalin being the crazy dictator who killed like 30, 40 million Russians. Now, the article did make it clear that they wouldn't be using Stalinistic methods. The methods they would be using are economic. And I got to go off on this for a second. We're getting a ton of news out there about debts and deficits, and we got to reduce the debt. We got to reduce the deficit and all this craziness. And look, let me explain something here. Let me explain something here. People think that taxes and the taxes we pay and spending and the spending the government does are somehow related. They're not. I mean, they can be. And all government agencies operate on that principle. And our media reflects that idea. But in fact, if the government wants to, they will spend as much as they want because they can borrow as much as they want. The feds will just go to the international bankers and the central banksters, and they'll say, we want to borrow some more money to fight this war or to buy these fighter jets, you know, like Stephen Harper did in paying his tithe to the military-industrial complex on behalf of Canada when it had been found that he'd been a little lax in doing so. So for years, the Harper administration says, nah, we got nothing for you, we got nothing for you, we got nothing for different levels of the government. And everybody shut up because all the power is centralized in the PMO, Prime Minister's office. And so none of you MPs are worth jack. And Michael Ignatieff's a carpetbagging piece of crap. So there goes the opposition. And Jack Layton's a liar. So there it is. And Green Party, Liz May, she's a communist. And so there it is. And so there's nothing. There's nothing stopping the agenda in this country. And there are no good, honest politicians out there. Really, there aren't many. Libby Davies comes close at times. But there's nobody like Ron Paul, like Congressman Joel Duncan, who I have a clip of that I was going to play on today's show, who come out against the New World Order and really identify the corporate banking mafia behind the scenes that dictates and corrupts much of policy. There just isn't much of that, but there are people that allude to it. So that's the point. They can say, you know, we got to raise your taxes because we got this big deficit, this budget deficit, and we're spending more money than we take in. And then we'd be like, hey, we'll stop spending our money. But beyond that and beyond the national debt, our national $500 billion debt, you know, that we pay like $50 billion a year in interest on, and yet that none of our politicians, whenever they do this, none of our prime ministers ever identify who we're paying it to, and our media doesn't follow up on it either. Who do we owe $500 billion to? You know, and why are we paying these ridiculous interest rates, and what's actually going on? So the point is that is the case here in Canada, where we have to understand the bigger picture to make sense of these small decisions. And the bigger picture is, in the new neo-fascist version of global communism run and managed by the United Nations, tons of foundations and many community organizations are going to be sprung up, who are springing up all around us, to help manage this process and help manage any resistance to this process by co-opting it. One of their main weapons is going to be taxation without representation, and it'll be based on the idea that we have these debts to take care of, and if we don't take care of these debts and these deficits, then our whole economy is going to blow. Well, look, they may pull the trigger on us sooner than later if we just decide to say bugger off. But either way, the trigger's getting pulled. And as the activist post notes in this article about what's going on, World War III could be a steady, slow, coldly calculated design to plunge the globe into austerity and totalitarian control through regulations such as those proposed by Codex Alimentarius and UN Agenda 21. So there's a whole bunch of things in the background. They've created this massive police state apparatus to trap us as we fall. So we got to keep that in mind here. So if one puts on the thinking cap of a sociopath, one might find the following six reasons are perfect to start World War III by nukes or by stealth and to further the agenda of world governance. One is distraction. And they can just, again, they're trying to distract us from all the domestic stuff going on. And it says here, towards the end of this lengthy paragraph, with such a populist uprising against all forms of oppression, the time appears to be ripe for the ultimate distraction. This includes terror threats, you know, foreign disasters, foreign wars, threats to all of us, threats that unite us to pay attention, as opposed to uniting us to pay attention to the people who are selling us threats all the time. And so that's a lot of what that's designed to do. Boost the dollar. You know, and this could be the beginning of a monetary and real World War III strategy set up to coordinate a universal collapse to benefit global interests. And let's not forget on which currency it actually reads, New World Order. And that's right, folks. On the U.S. $1 bill, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, New Secular Order, where basically the old world order going for their scientific indoctrination has an idea of getting rid of God and replacing God with science. Science is the new God. If science says so, then it is thus. And yet there's a clip here as well I have in my little clip file of the 1976 swine flu scare, where like 46 million people got vaccinated because the government scared the hell out of them. And 4,000 were currently as of last year, still suing the U.S. government for their health effects based on that. And 26 people died while several others got neurological damage because of the last swine flu scare in 76. And so, you know, science, you know, as I say in my song, On to the Next, No One World Government, PhDs PhDs make disease for militaries. Don't think they wouldn't laugh for the IPCC. And that is the International Panel on Climate Change for the United Nations. One of the big reasons for our sustainable development. We all need to use less. We all need to cut back on resource usage. And we all need to cut down our carbon emissions and destroy our industries. Because in 20 years, it's going to get really warm. That's the crazy state of the world we live in today, folks. Another reason for it's not true, climate change, global warming, it's all crap. See the movie Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, either on DVD. You can get a copy at Conspiracy Culture, the book and DVD store, conspiracyculture.org, or Queen and Roncesvalles, or you can see it online on YouTube. Just Google Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, or Endgame on YouTube, and you can find the full-length version there from youtube.com/changeda, that's DA channel. Because that breaks down this whole agenda, as well as the eugenics. The reason that they want to do all this, the reason they want to dumb down, dehumanize, and rob us, is to make it easier to murder us as well, because they're paranoid. They're paranoid up there, and they're very, very worried about going this far with their plans and now getting caught. So they're kind of committed to the finish, which is why we got to be committed to starting more revolutionary ideas and manifesting them and calmly and consistently carrying them out to resist this. Another reason for starting World War III, global hegemony. This new Korean conflict could have the perfect dual effect of the Western world running to the safety of the Anglo-American establishment and the dollar, while the East seeks the backing of China to correct instability in the region, all while Russia and Iran are there for the potential final solution. So in you know, what they call the theater of war, we could be watching theater where everything will make sense to us because it was written to make sense to us, not because it actually played out that way in the sort of natural order of things. A feel-good war. For those not in tune to the larger globalist agenda, America's in dire need of a feel-good war, another Nazi Germany-style threat possessing undisputed intentions of global dominance. Enter China from stage left. So basically, if we go to war with China, and after this much demonization of China, and China's taking all our jobs, even though our companies decide to manufacture everything there, it's not like, it took our jobs. It's not like, you know, our governments couldn't see this process happening over 10 years. But nonetheless, China's been demonized for decades, and especially in the last couple, and especially recently. So if we do decide to scrap with them, it may be the type of war that we can get behind, unlike those icky ones in the Middle East we'd prefer to ignore. Investment in the military-industrial complex. 54% of the U.S. federal budget is spent on the military in all its forms as it continues to expand at warp speed overseas and on the streets of America. Traditional weapons of physical destruction, as well as high-tech weaponry and mind-controlled soldiers, straight out of science fiction, are set to align with surveillance and tracking capabilities of biometrics and predictive behavior criminology. There's even an article on naturalnews.com talking about how there's a new pill to erase memories, which they want to recommend for soldiers who come back from post-traumatic stress disorder, but which could also be used for even more nefarious purposes. And this is an idea that was posited in movies like The Manchurian Candidate and with other mind control experiments like the admitted MK Ultra program by the CIA, where they wanted to create assassins and then have those assassins forget what they did so they couldn't compromise the people who got them to assassinate. It's also part of Kathy O'Brien's thesis, she being a victim of mind control and being a presidential model sex slave, where very, very young children are often subjected to ritual abuse, ritual sexual abuse, and trauma, satanic abuse, in order to so traumatize them that it splits their personality. And once they have several personalities, each of those personalities can be programmed for a different function. So look into the work of Kathy O'Brien. Her book, The Transformation of America, is a must read. And Kathy O apostrophe B-R-I-E-N, that's Kathy with a C. You can find her interviews on YouTube for a bit more on this. Another part of the agenda is, of course, depopulation. As it says here, this part of the agenda is still difficult for most people to grasp, but it is imperative to ask the question, what will global governance offer once its objectives of order out of chaos are achieved? We need only look at the results on a country-by-country basis when globalist organizations like the World Bank and IMF have taken over. More poverty, more sickness, and a decrease in life expectancy. And it's true. And this Wednesday is World AIDS Day, so I got to put out another warning on AIDS. AIDS is fake. If AIDS was real and worked the way they said it did, then, you know, over the last 25 years, it being an epidemic and all in the mid-80s, we should know at least 5 people each with AIDS. But we don't, because AIDS is fake. AIDS is caused by the drugs. The first cocktail, AZT, the AZT cocktail in the 80s, used to treat AIDS patients, was made from AZT, a drug banned in the 70s, because it killed all the animals they tested it on. And so then they brought it back, and they gave it to these people they diagnosed with AIDS. Keep in mind, these people weren't even, like, sick yet. You know, they may have had weak immune systems or druggy lifestyles or party lifestyles or being unusually stressed out. So they did have weak immune systems. And then they showed up, you know, on a test that said 7 out of 10 signs say you have a weak immune system. So the AIDS is probably there. But the HIV virus has never been isolated and purified. So keep that in mind. People hate this one. People, conspiracy theorists still go on, oh, the government created it. Well, fine. If they created it, we should be able to find it. And so I disagree with people like Alex Jones, for example, and Dr. Len Horowitz, who go off on AIDS being this and AIDS being that. I hosted a debate between David Crow from the Alberta Reappraising AIDS Society, ARAS.AB.ca, and the late Dr. Boyd Graves, who was promoting a tetrasilver cure for AIDS. And Boyd Graves left after 20 minutes because while his thesis was the government created it, it did not stand up to scrutiny. And in the hour-long debate, Dr. Boyd Graves left after 20 minutes after briefly getting upset and bouncing. And I was being perfectly nice to both of them. It's actually nicer to Mr. Graves because I knew, you know, I'd be judged for it, and I was giving as much time as he wanted to speak. But at the same time, he was out of there because, again, the people in all these cases, whether it comes to AIDS, see aliveandwell.org, aliveandwell.org, or ars.ab.ca, or rethinkingaids.org, or the other side of aids.com, for a movie by Christine Maggiore and Robin Scoville, endorsed by the Foo Fighters, among others. The people that question what big pharmacide controlled medical professionals have to offer, even if they're medical professionals, even if they're fellow medical professionals, doctors, nurses, hundreds or thousands of people have signed petitions questioning the medical orthodoxy on certain key issues like AIDS, like vaccines, and GMO foods, like aspartame. The people that question the safety of these things when it comes to consumer or medical use are denied the opportunity for a fair debate with members of the scientific community who are advocating for their use, just like people who deny the global warming Holocaust are denied a formal debate with global warming Holocaust promoters. So Alicia Keys, was calling a bunch of people like Lady Gaga and Rihanna and a bunch of these people and having like a let's sign off Twitter and Facebook day, and Lady Gaga's got to sign off for a day from her 7 million Twitter fans and 2.5 million Facebook users, and it's a whole big thing. And I don't even know if Miss Keys knows that every time you buy a Gap red t-shirt, a murder red t-shirt, you might be killing an African. But she should, and if she doesn't, we should, so we can get her to stop. Because in the heavily controlled pop culture industry, you know, a lot of these people don't really know, you know what's going on. They don't look into these things. These things can't make them more successful necessarily. You know, although a band like Muse, you know, disproves that with their anti-New World Order rantings and ravings and musings, among others. But the point is that Ms. Alicia Keys probably wouldn't look into this and probably has never heard of the thesis I just advocated. But for those of you folks out there, go to aliveandwell.org to figure this out. Because, look, we've been shagging like monkeys. Not all of us is using rubbers all the time. In fact, we shag way crazier than they do in Africa. In Africa, there's a whole bunch of Christians and Muslims there, and they're harder core about their religions than we are. So while, yes, there are, you know, instances of rape and so on, and there are armies that do that, when it comes to the general population in civilized areas, we're way crazier here than they are. In my Africa guys will state that. When it says something like, you know, 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 women in North America or in Canada or America, depending on, you know, the stat and who it's from, will be raped. That in Africa, in most countries, they don't put up with that stuff. You know, here we can actually have that statistic quoted to us by charities, and we kind of take it straight, like, oh man, that's a real shame. I hope people donate to that charity. Well, so since our societies are way sexually crazier than most others in the world, AIDS is being brought back to scare the hell out of us, and because the people who are most at risk will likely go in for an AIDS test, will likely be stressed out as hell, will likely have a low immunity score, a low white blood cell count, some other random particles that may or may not be related to the theory behind the HIV virus existing and being in one's bloodstream. And the AIDS test is different in every clinic and in every country. Not every clinic in every country, but it varies, you know, a lot. I assume they sell more than one to each clinic. But it varies from clinic to clinic and country to country. And so in Africa, you could get maybe 5 out of 10 at the AIDS clinic set up there by the big global depopulators to depopulate the region. And that clinic only makes money by diagnosing, confirming, and treating AIDS patients. So as soon as you walk in there, you know, they're like, boom, another customer. And they basically go through the process of putting you on that regimen, which eventually takes you out. And here, the test is a little less strenuous. Maybe you got to get 7 or 8 out of 10 on these markers. But the point is that you can find all this and more at aliveandwell.org. And Google The Other Side of AIDS and see that movie and see interviews with it and on YouTube and so on, because this is going to be used to hammer us. I've been warning about this for a couple of years. It's going to be used to hammer us, so it's good to get it out there. So anyway, those are reasons for World War III and some related tangents on that article. You know, and just to show you how long they've been up to this, from Mike Adams at naturalnews.com, courtesy of Infowars.com, in the 1950s, the Soda Pop Board of America, and that's Soda Pop, that's like Coca-Cola and so on, ran full-page ads in national magazines touting this message, quote, "If you really want to give your baby a head start in life by improving their social standing and guaranteeing their happiness, start feeding them Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and other sugary carbonated beverages at the earliest age possible. Even babies as young as a few months old will enjoy the many benefits of Soda Pop." So there you go. They tried to do that. And it says here, again, a quote, "How soon is it to start drinking Coca-Cola? Not soon enough. Laboratory tests over the last few years have proven that babies who start drinking soda during that early formative period have a much higher chance of gaining acceptance and, quote, fitting in during those awkward preteen and teen years." So do yourself a favor, do your child a favor, start them on a strict regimen of sodas and other sugary carbonated beverages right now for a lifetime of guaranteed happiness. The Soda Pop Board of America, 1515 West Hart Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, promotes active lifestyle, boosts personality, gives body essential sugars. And the article goes through, you know, some other examples of this. Tobacco companies selling poison in the form of cigarettes and chewing tobacco, food manufacturers selling the form of poison in the form of partially hydrogenated oils, MSG, and an HFCS, Monsanto in the form of GM seeds and GMO foods. Drug companies selling poison in the form of most medications and vaccines, and so, and cancer clinics in the form of chemotherapy and mammograms. Personal care products in the form of cosmetics. Man, I saw an ad on Yahoo News a couple of years ago that says Minnesota banned lead in cosmetics. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Then I was thinking, wait a minute, they banned lead in cosmetics and that made the news? So who didn't ban lead? Who hasn't banned lead yet? How much lead is in cosmetics? How much lead is in the stuff out there that women are painting their faces with? And you notice during the recession, you know, most of the beauty places, they're still open. They're still doing pretty well because women have decided, you know what? I'm going to look hot. I need my hair looking this way, my face looking this way. I know the game plan. I know where we live, and I'm not shorting myself, you know, when it comes to maxing my hotness during my hot years. But how much lead is in that, and how is that affecting your brain and your happiness? You can look hot, but are you happy? And if you're not happy, it may not necessarily be, you know, your fault or your own intellectual, you know, approach to things. It may be because you are getting poisoned in a million different ways by the eugenicists out there that are doing this sort of thing. And it says here as part of the Natural News article, advertising is the science of engineering consent. And, you know, years ago, you had the giant stained glass windows in church, and you go there and you're like these huge frescoes of God and the heavens, and then you got the priest there representing that. And your way into that ticket to paradise. And so you worship that. And then they also had in Babylonian days and more recently with modern dictators, giant pictures of either the Pharaoh or Saddam or Stalin or Lenin or Mao or Bush, or Obama, for that matter, out there to make us feel small. And so they put these giant pictures up, but, you know, especially in the countries that are formal dictatorships like Saddam's Iraq and Mao's China, there'd be giant pictures of the great dear leader out there to get us to feel small and to worship him and to make him seem huge in comparison to us. So I'm at Yorkdale Mall, you know, the other day, last Friday, you know, for a bit, and I'm seeing they've raised the ceilings there, like they're doing it a lot of malls, making them giant cathedrals of consumerism, and the size of the ads and the size of the models is getting huge. It's like 20, 25 foot models, a giant Beeb or Bebe, B-E-B-E ad out there. This woman, tall, skinny, blonde chick, couldn't be more than 5'4 in reality, is up there like 25 feet tall, staring down on us in all of her magnificent hotness and making us feel small and making us want to be that and worship that and idolize that, as is the case historically and by design. So you could see these old techniques been used for a minute. And they're still being used today. On that note, I'm going to take a break for a sec. Cause I do love you. And now you've made my day. What else is there for me to say? More than I'm glad that you love me too. Ooh. I have been told never to look for love. And we're back, folks. A few more articles to break down here on this morning show. Monday, November 29th, 2010. Miley Cyrus, little sister, selling sex to little girls. Not enough that Miley Cyrus is doing it. This is from MSN News, courtesy of Vigilant Citizen. Vigilant Citizen, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-T, Citizen. Definitely your best place for an understanding of celeb culture and for scandalous news like this that can help put things in context. This is from MSN News, as quoted here on Vigilant Citizen. Seems like every time we hear about Noah Cyrus, she's doing something totally inappropriate for her age. Whether it's dressing like a dominatrix for Halloween, skipping around a pole dancing pole, or performing the totally un-PG hit Smack That and Tick Tock. We suspect this 9-year-old could easily notch up more scandals than her big sis by the time she hits her teens. And this is, Did you hear me reading this? It's actually sold as a good thing. These days when, you know, and it started with, you know, bad, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. You know, these days, breaking taboos. Taboos are, you know, cool by definition. And so you got this whole article here where she's doing something totally inappropriate for her age, but there's no comment on it. And then it says here, she could easily notch up more scandals than her big sis by the time she hits her teens. Well, what does scandals mean? It means you got in trouble, you had some fun, and you got some publicity for it. And that is, in fact, a goal being engineered out there of more and more young ladies. As I watch, I'm staring at pictures of this 9-year-old chick wearing dominatrix outfits here for Halloween on the site courtesy of MSN News. So the latest news that's got us scratching our heads and wondering yet again, quote, what were her parents thinking? Little Noah is set to become a lingerie model. She'll be teaming up with her pint-sized best friend, Emily Grace, to launch a children's lingerie collection for Oh La La Couture. Children's lingerie. The company's website describes the Emily Grace collection as having, quote, a trendy, sweet, yet edgy feel reminiscent of Emily's true personality. She's collaborating with Oh La La Couture, or Ooh La La Couture, designers to create versatile styles to be worn with sweet ballerina slippers, funky sneakers, or paired with lace stockings and boots for more of a rock and roll look. Emily's collection will appeal not just to little girls. The line also has an exclusive teen collection available to a size 14. Here's a clip of this poor Emily Grace kid dressed up in a pair of fishnets and chatting about her underwear line with Miley and Noah. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. But this is going on here in the 21st century. And it's good to mention, why does the New World Order want to sell us sex so bad, aside from the fact that it's a huge distraction? Well, they tried this back in the early 1900s, and sex has always been around and blah, blah, blah. But the promotion of it and our obsessive focus on it and the fact that, you know, once you get a wife and then you get some kids and then you get a dog, it seems like the only thing you should get to doing is to breaking up and going shagging again. Because that's what happens if you watch the TV and you get, you know, brainwashed by it into you know, being unhappy with each other and to lusting for everything else under the sun. But the point is that the New World Order tried this in the 1920s with the whole flapper movement and there was a mini sexual revolution back then, but there was too much fallout because they didn't have the pill. But then when the 1960s, when they had the birth control pill, well, baby, then it was on again. But the idea is this. The more sexual partners you have at a young age, the less likely you are to bond with someone long term. You know, you're always fantasizing about, you know, something else. You know, you can get, you know, more than the person you're with. I don't necessarily want to get married because I've been in love a number of times. I haven't had a lot of sexual partners, but I've had a few, and I'm always confident I can get another one. But, you know, if I did get an arranged marriage or if I only had a couple girls and I met some really, really sweet girl and decided to settle down with her, I probably wouldn't have that thought in my mind. I'd probably be like, oh, man, if she leaves me, I'm screwed. And because I can't get screwed. and she'd have the same thought. And so we could make it work. But in our hypersexual culture, where they've been selling us intergenerational sex, including young men, older women, old men, younger women, been around for a while, I know. And now, of course, pedophilia. This is a classic symptom of that issue. Also more on VigilantCitizen.com here. Homeland Security shuts down dozens of websites without a court order. And so you can see they're going after after more and more internet traffic and internet users out there. It says here, CIA must disclose data on human experiments. So people are still digging that stuff up. Do keep in mind out there, we have to understand mind control. If we don't understand mind control and what its purpose is and how it's used on us, then all this information that I'm broadcasting here and that other people are broadcasting here will turn into predictive programming, because we will get used to this being the way the world is. You know, we can get the magic and esoteric stuff from you know, learning about Freemasonry and learning about Kabbalah and learning about, you know, the mystery religions and so on and numerology, whereas the general public can learn about it from Harry Potter and Dan Brown books, The Da Vinci Code, the vampire movies. You know, we're all going to get used to the idea that, you know, there are people that believe in magic and using magic to affect things here on Earth, and a bunch of us will get recruited into buying those belief systems. A couple more things here. Is sex about porn or procreation? From Henry Macko at henrymacko.com. It says here, I would teach my daughter to consecrate herself to her future husband and children. That means cultivating the qualities of a good wife and mother, not a prostitute or a porn star. The article starts, I have a friend whose 16-year-old daughter has sex with her boyfriend at home. He feels that it is better than doing it on the sly. She is strong-willed and has a foul mouth. He has quit trying to influence her. I don't have a daughter, but I wonder what I would say to one. This applies to all young women. You must choose between sex for procreation and sex for pornography, furtive, short-lived titillation. Now, I'm not saying that it's got to be black or white, but what I am saying is in a culture where we are being hammered on a regular basis with so much information getting us, you know, to perpetuate our interest in sex out there as a distraction, not necessarily for our benefit, it is good to get a few articles like this from henrymakow.com to get the other side, you know, just to get some balance. People out there look for balance, so fine, balance your head. It's not like you won't just step out there and catch other articles on the site like Decadent Disgusting Dexter, where a medical doctor, a 67-year-old conservative physician, talks about, my goodness, what the hell's going on with this show, Dexter? Dexter makes you feel sadistic, confused, and remorseless, sexless, and empty. Like he says, he's a born killer whose own father helped him channel his monstrous rages into something more than pure mayhem. I thought back to when I was a teenager. This kind of crap would never have been written for TV, much less funded, produced, directed, marketed, and all that. No person in charge would have even considered such trash worthy of a mass audience. What's become of us, and where the hell are we going? From JM, apparently a medical doctor, commenting on the TV show Dexter. So you're going to get this sold to you, whether you like it or not. And I remember, you know, four years ago, I guess, when the show first came out, before it came out, or just as it was coming out, I met a buddy at Second Cup near Much Music, and we sat down and chatted, and he told me about this show. And before the show had even started, I was already horrified at his description of the show, because I knew the agenda it reflected. But there is also The Importance of a Woman's Dress from Charlotte Groth at henrymacko.com, talking about how every time she's dressed well, she's gotten better treatment. And I know myself, when I got my swagger on 100,000 trillion, to quote Kanye West, I get treated better. I get more collective approval, which leads to more individual approval, because so much of our intelligence is based on our fashion choices today. Either we were smart, so we made enough money to buy rich stuff, or we're smart, so we have a good sense of color and we have a good sense of style, and so we made the right choices when it came to combining the clothes that we were wearing that day into a pleasing outfit. So we got to play the ball where we lie, folks. And so, you know, no shame in the game. That's simply what's going on. But keep in mind that that this is part of the control. And Plato coined the term the fashion industry 2,500 years ago in his book The Republic, because as a manual for how oligarchs can control societies. But it is the 29th of November 2010. It is a Monday. So in a few minutes, I will leave you shortly, I will leave you with Mr. DJ David James, the People's DJ here in Toronto, spinning you 4 hours of super jazz, the only way he knows how, which is absolutely brilliantly. I'm flipping to a couple of different articles I got to get to before my time is up here, because one of them relates to Toronto, and that is G20 cops cleared of brutality charges because they couldn't be identified. Uh-oh, tons of cameras everywhere. They should have badge numbers anyway on the uniforms. And yet there's an article from the Toronto Star by Jamie Poisson that says that the G20 cops are being let go because they couldn't be identified. Now, keep in mind what this is. This is quid pro quo. This is trying to get the cops on the New World Order's side. It's a bit of blackmail. It's saying, look, we can send you out there to rough people up, and then we'll cover your ass. And so we're going to encourage you to do that on a regular basis. And if you do that on your own, hey, what do you know? We'll look the other way. And so we've got to reach out to our police out there before this happens on a regular basis. And G20 martial law, as we saw last summer, has a sequel. Rob Ford, the new sheriff in town, makes his move. Again from the Star, the Rob Ford era begins Wednesday with a newly elected cost-cutting councillor takes over David Miller's office and becomes Toronto's 64th mayor, the third since amalgamation in 1998. Mr. Ford made a bunch of promises about cutting back. Let's make sure Mr. Ford is intellectually and philosophically consistent in his views and helps get rid of the fluoride, the fluoride in our water supply costing us $400 million a year, which is not good for us and has no medical benefit. In fact, causes medical harm. So it's a waste of money and it's dangerous. Let's put some pressure on Mr. Fluoride and the new city council starting December 1st to get that out of there. And how much are we spending on the damn flu shot every year? Providing the free flu shot. Could that money, could those millions of dollars be used for better ends? Methinks so. Go to VRAN.org for vaccine info and legal vaccine exemption forms. Couple websites, shout out Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, VigilantCitizen.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, locally TorontoTruthSeekers.com, press FOR, Truth.ca, new film Into the Fire about the G20 summit coming soon from Dan Dix, Steve Davies, and Brian Law, the firm of Dix, Davies, and Law. And conspiracyculture.org, the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store, and of course, the Toronto Street newspaper put out by the venerable Victor Fletcher, the Frank Conspiracy Sinatra of TDOT, who for over 12 years has been talking all this mess on the streets of Toronto through his paper, sold by the homeless for a couple of bucks. Flip him a toonie, get some good karma, get some good info, and do pass it on. I'm out of here, folks. Have yourselves a fantastic Monday. Hopefully we'll get the show working right on Thursday, but hey, it's been a slice. Have a great day, everybody, and peace out.
All these talk of hearsay and she say won't get us nowhere.